Praise the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and the Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends, in our reflections on the mystery of the cross, we start today speaking about the cross as a sign. We can say the sign of the cross or cross as a sign. We find crosses all over. Wherever there are Christians, we find crosses. We find crosses on the church pinnacle, the church door. We see crosses in the cemetery, on house doors, everywhere. Crosses are plenty. Crosses always remind us of something. It is a sign. It is a sign now has become the sign of the Christian. Not only we put crosses, we also sign ourselves. For example, every action we start in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is the shortest confession and maybe the most important. The confession of Christian faith in three words and a sign. The sign of the cross. After so many years of reflection, prayer and studies, I still do not understand, comprehend the depth and meaning of this sign of the cross. What does it signify? Why do we sign ourselves with the cross? It is a great mystery, still unfathomable. The cross, the sign of the cross. The cross has become the sign of the Christians. When we bless somebody or something, we make the sign of the cross. The priests are anointed to sign. When people come to me asking, bless me, Father, either I make a sign of the cross like this or make a sign on the forehead, sign of the cross. Every time I bless, bless in the sign of the cross. But when I think about what I am doing, I am shocked. I am making a sign of the cross on a person, on his or her forehead. What am I doing by that? I am marking the person out. For what? For God's blessing. But not only that. I am signing a person with a cross, and that cross signifies something more. That cross recalls a person who was crucified, died on the cross. And I am signing the person with the cross of Jesus Christ, crucified. And it implies quite a lot. And we consider it as a blessing. Of course it is a blessing. Blessed in the name of Jesus crucified. But we are at the same time also marked out as a person carrying the cross, carrying the mark of the cross. So cross, we make the sign of the cross, but at the same time, cross is a sign. I am intrigued by this camera and people who operate the camera. When I see at the the screen, I see a cross. And cross shows the focus to shoot. Whether you shoot a picture, or whether you shoot an arrow, or you shoot a bullet, it's always marked, the cross. So cross points to a target where you hit. Is that the cross I am signing the people with? Sometimes it shocks me to make the sign of the cross. See, a cross has many, many meanings. We have the crossroads, two roads crossing. And the symbol of the cross itself, a beam that stands straight up and another beam. Is that a sign of contradiction? A sign that denies something? It can be many things. The sign of the cross. The cross is a sign of confession. When I make the sign of the cross, I confess to something or to somebody. I confess Jesus Christ. I confess my faith in Jesus Christ, who saved us through the cross. It's a sign of the Christian confession. This sign is sometimes used in many other ways, not always as a respectful sign. Sometimes the cross is used upside down as a satanic symbol, just the contrary of what cross should be. Sometimes the cross is worn by villains and thieves and murderers in many films to insult Christianity and Christ. Cross can be used as many, many symbols of many things. Very often, the cross has become a symbol of a group of people, of believers, of Christians. And so it is sometimes considered as an offensive sign for many. Many who do not anymore subscribe to Christianity do not want to see the sign of the cross in public. So there was a great hue and cry in many countries to remove the cross from the school buildings, from public offices, public buildings. Cross should not be seen. It is an offensive sign for many. Offensive why? Because it represents something which they cannot accept. The sign of the cross. The sign of the cross that is a contradiction. It did not start with the cross itself. When I look at the Gospels, I see the first contradiction somehow presented by an old man, Simeon or Simon. The old man who was inspired by the Holy Spirit to come to the temple when a young couple brought their child, the firstborn child, the poor people bringing a child with the offering of two turtle doves, so inconspicuous, noticed by nobody. And this old man was led by the Spirit to the temple when Joseph and Mary brought their child, Jesus, to be presented in the temple. And after saying the blessing, Simon tells also this. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, 33 to 35. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed or contradicted." Semeion anti-legomenon, it is said. Anti-legomenon. A sign that will be opposed, that will be contradicted. A sign that will become a source of contradiction and opposition in the world. It was predicted. The child just born, 40 days. And this child is destined to be a sign of contradiction. And ever since that, 2,000 years, after, this remains a sign of contradiction. Wherever Jesus is being preached, wherever Christ is being presented as crucified, there is contradiction. Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, was taken prisoner in Jerusalem by the fanatic Jewish leaders. And he was put on trial, and finally he appealed to Caesar in Caesarea Maritima, and he was sent with Roman soldiers' escort to Rome as a prisoner to be tried. And when he came to Rome, he called the leaders of the Jewish community in Rome, and he wanted to discuss with them, proclaim to them the good news of Jesus. And the last session, which the Acts of the Apostles narrates us in chapter 28, after long dispute and discussion, the leaders came to this understanding or this conclusion. Acts 28, verses 21, 22. They replied, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken anything evil about you. But we would like to hear from you what you think, for with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." Everywhere it is spoken against. Everywhere it is contradicted. That is the original word, antilegomenon. A sign that is being contradicted. Christianity becomes a sign that is being contradicted. And the cross is the symbol of this contradicted Christianity or contradicted Christ. So Christ and the cross becomes a symbol of contradiction. Initially, cross was an instrument of extreme torture, invented probably by the Assyrians or Persians. Historians are not sure who invented this brutal torture instrument. So this was an instrument that caused extreme pain, mental pain and physical agony. A person crucified, nailed to the cross, naked, and left to die. So this was extreme punishment. Assyrians and Persians used this punishment. Later, Romans took it up. And Romans crucified two types of people, runaway slaves and rebels to the empire. Anybody who plotted against the empire, anybody who rebelled against the empire was crucified. So it is the punishment of a revolutionary. A person who was a threat to the security of the empire. A person who pretended to be a king. A person who tried to break away from the Roman yoke. He was a dangerous element and he had to be eliminated. Not only eliminated, but exemplary punishment should be given to him so that nobody would ever dare to do what he did. So the crucifixion was always in public. And the crucified person was left to die, not only to die, but to rot on the cross. Usually the Romans did not allow the body of the crucified to be taken down. It has to be left there to be eaten by animals and birds till it just disappears. They kept guard for the dead body, so that none of the friends or followers come and take away the body. So this was an exemplary punishment, a dreaded punishment, crucifixion. And so the symbol of cross, the sign of the cross, was a sign of extreme punishment and humiliation. The Christians did not use the symbol of the cross at the beginning for many reasons. First of all, the symbol reminded the people of a revolution, of a rebellion against the empire. And this would have been dangerous to present as a sign of redemption. But more than that, cross has become a sign of ridicule. For example, in the Roman Forum in the first century, there was a picture painted by a certain person, somebody, and the picture was of a person crucified with the head of an ass. And underneath there stood a person prostrate under the cross. And there was a script titled saying, Anaxamenos worships his God. Anaxamenos worships his God. Anaxamenos is a symbol of a Christian. And the Christian is worshiping his God. And who is his God? A God crucified. And not a person. An ass. The head of a donkey. So stupid, they said, is the Christian. A Christian who worships a person who was crucified by the Romans. So this was the sign. The Christians never used at the beginning the cross as a symbol of Christianity or as a sign. If you watch the murals of the catacombs in Rome, we don't see crosses, they say. There are many other symbols. Christians, the most important and most common symbol for a Christian was a fish. And we see many of these signs in the ancient depicting. Fish. Fish can mean two things. Jesus sent out the apostles. They were all fishermen. And when Jesus called Peter and James and Andrew and John, he told them, I'll make you fishers of men. That could be one reason. But I think there is more important reason to use the symbol of fish. Greek was a common language in the first century Rome. And in Greek, the word for fish is ichthus. And this consists of five letters. Ichthus. And if you put this as a short form, you have the five words, Greek words coming in. Jesus, Christos, Theou, Hios, Soter. So Jesus, Jesus, Christos, Christ, Jesus Christ, the second letter, qui, Christ, and the third letter, theta, theos, God, gods, and you, hios, son, and yes, is soter. Jesus, Christos, theou, hios, soter. Read together, ichthus, meaning fish, but separately, Jesus Christ, God's son, savior. That was a proclamation of faith, a confession of faith. And this was a secret sign, something like a code. And if a person draws a sign of a fish in the dust with his toe, and another one watches and notices that sign, if he is a Christian, he would know that that person is a Christian. And this was a kind of communicating themselves, fish, not the cross. Another symbol the Christians used in the ancient times was an anchor. Anchor is a symbol. Anchoring your faith, your hope, your own anchor. We are all people traveling, journeying, making our voyage across the ocean of time and life. Our life itself is presented as a boat. And this boat should have an anchor to save us from danger, where we can put our hope, where we can put our trust. So the anchor is Christ. Christ is the anchor of my life. So anchor was another symbol, not the cross. Then there was a shepherd as a sign, Jesus as the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd who gives the life for the sheep. So these were the ancient symbols of bread, breaking of bread, eating together, but never cross. Cross did not come up as a symbol, sign of Christians until late. It was after the time of Constantine, it seems, that the cross became a common symbol for Christianity. It was a time of great danger for the General Constantine, who was fighting against Maxentius in Rome. Constantine had not the half the soldiers and army as the opponent Maxentius had. He did not know if he would win the war or he would be defeated. At that night, before the engagement in war, Constantine had a dream or a vision at night. He saw a luminous cross, a fiery cross in the heaven. And around the cross there was a script, in hoc signo vinceris, meaning In this sign, you will win. Cross became a sign for Constantine, a sign for victory. He took it as a sign from God and made this sign on the shields of the soldiers and the banners of the army. Everywhere he made this sign. And miraculously he won the victory against all odds. So he believed and he became aware that Christ has saved him, gave him the victory. And with that victory, Christianity was liberated from the Roman oppression and persecution. Constantine, through an edict, made Christianity the official religion of Rome. So the cross that was the sign of persecution, ridicule, now has become the sign of victory, a sign of triumph. But then we have the story of the cross being used and misused. Cross no more as a symbol of punishment, no more as a symbol of self-emptying, but symbol of domination, symbol of triumph and victory. So we have cross in gold, cross with jewels, cross on the crown of the king, cross on the thrones. We have also cross on the shield of soldiers, on their sword and their armor. Everywhere we see the sign of the cross, used not as a sign of persecution, not as a sign of humiliation, but as a sign of triumph. Somehow the meaning of the cross shifted. And maybe that is one of the reasons why cross has become a sign of opposition for many. It has become a sectarian sign, it would seem. Among the world religions, Christianity is represented by cross. And very often we miss the point of the cross, what that cross actually stands for and stood for. The cross, now we have many types of crosses. Each church has its own way of depicting cross. You have the Latin cross. You have the Russian cross. You have the Jerusalem cross, again another type. You have the Byzantine cross. You have the St. Andreas cross or the Tau cross. You have the Persian cross. The Persian cross or the Silo Malabar, St. Thomas cross. A cross that has three buds on each end of the three beams. So there are various types of crosses. Cross with the figure of the crucified Jesus, the crucifix, and cross without the figure. And very often, this multiplicity of the shapes of cross itself points to the mystery of the cross. And we are going to delve deeper into this mystery. We have to see what this cross means, why we sign ourselves with the cross. What is the meaning of the cross? Cross, Paul said, is a symbol of folly. Crucified Jesus in the eyes of pagans is just a folly. Everybody would look for a triumphant leader, a person who defeats, who fights and triumphs over evil, not a person who is killed such a miserable way. But for the Christians, Jesus Christ crucified is the only salvation. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians that we read at the beginning, comes to say this. The Jews demand in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 22 and following. The Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. The Jews were asking for miracles. The Jews were waiting for a redeemer, a savior, like Moses, who would split the sea, the Red Sea, and bring the slaves from captivity, from slavery to the freedom. The time of Jesus, they were waiting for a Messiah, for a leader like Moses, who would liberate the people of Israel from the Roman yoke. There were others who were waiting for a royal Messiah, like David, to fight the Romans and bring them to freedom. That was the Jews looking for a sign. And the Romans and the Gentiles, they were looking for wisdom. But what kind of wisdom is in the cross? A person who is crucified is not a sign. It's just a scandal for the Jews and a foolishness for the Romans. Not only a scandal, for the Jews, the cross and the crucified is a curse. For example, in the letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 13, we read, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Hanging on a tree can be by a noose or by the nails. So Jesus crucified for the Jew was a curse, a person who was cursed by God. So it's a scandal to preach the crucified Christ. And for many, Jesus becomes a scandal today because he is a sign of rejection and opposition. A rejection of many values that today people consider as the supreme value. Value of power. Value of profit. Value of pleasure. Value of domination over the other. People who treasure these values consider the cross as stupidity, as a sign, a scandal. But for the Christian, Paul says, for the believer, cross is a sign of God's power. God's power that brings life out of death. God's power that is being manifested in the self-emptying love. We are going to delve a bit deeper into this mystery. We'll ask, why this cross on Jesus? What does it mean for us today? Let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cross, the mystery that you revealed us through the death and resurrection of your Son. Enable us to understand your love that is being manifested in this great mystery of the cross. Difficult for us to understand, more difficult to accept the message. Yet we know that this is the only sign that you have given us, a sign that leads to life. Enable us to accept it. Enable us to understand, even when we do not understand, accept the cross and live with it, that we may come to the glory through resurrection. Make this prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.